For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. The last 16 in both the FA Trophy and the FA Vials, we speak to a manager in each and find out what success in a national competition means to their clubs. First up, Addy Wing enjoying life in a very competitive National North this season after promotion last with Banbury United. They're facing a home tie this weekend against National League opposition, whose league position he admits belies their current form. Phil Annetts is back with his at FA Vars fact file hat on to give us some insight into the competition for Step 5 and 6 clubs before we speak with the manager preparing his side for a trip in the FA Vars this weekend. Richard Duffy had a great pro career as a player, including international call-ups. He's still playing and he also manages now and is aiming to take Congleton Town all the way to Wembley if he can. Running it all off is Matt Batcock of the Non-League Paper as we discuss the big talking points of the week and what's to come in this weekend's edition. A bumper edition of this show then, so sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. So let's start then this week with the FA Trophy. The last 16 as we reach the fifth round. A few delays in getting the last round played, but there are all there now. 8 ties in place this weekend, including our next guest, hoping his National North side at home can upset their National League visitors. Let's give a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Banbury United, Andy Wing. Welcome back, Andy.
Hi, mate. Hope you're well.
I'm good. I can hear you're busy. You're trying to juggle everything. When we spoke to you last, I think you just wrapped up the title and promotion. You done it fairly on in the season. That gave you a bit more time to plan. Did that make it easier for this season? Is it everything you imagined and more as well, being in the National North?
In terms of planning, probably not. I mean, we had a lot of changes, board level, so it's pretty a long summer, to be fair. We started the season with one sub. So that, I think that just shows how late to the party we probably were, but we had a fantastic start to the season. We've hit a couple of dips, which is understandable. Mm. New to the league, feeling our way through it. But, so far been a really good learning curve, a really good season for us. And hopefully we can push on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you say you had a good start and have hit a couple of dips. I mean, one thing you did achieve last term in particular was keeping form on the level across all the competitions on multiple fronts. It looks like, really, from afar, as you say, first season in this level, you've kept that going this year. You say you started with one sub. Have you been able to add to the squad this year? Have you got a slightly bigger squad this year?
Only the last couple of weeks we've really started to build a bit of a squad. A few injuries have come back, which is great. We've got put a couple of loan players in, which is brilliant. Just especially with the amount of games that have been postponed, I think that's been really difficult the last 2 months. Obviously the cold snap before Christmas, and then obviously had waterlogged pitches. Then we've had a bit of a cold snap since. There's a lot of games still to come. We still got to play 20 games. Going to need a big squad for the rest of the season, but again, we've done really well. We've done okay in the FA Cup this year, and we're doing fantastically well in the FA Trophy, and we're still right in the mix in the league as well with a few games at hand. So all in all, no complaints really.
But as I mentioned early on, a very busy time. You went from the Southern League into the National North, and how's that been in terms of, you say, all these postponements? How's that been in terms of travel and availability? I think you're one of the only clubs remaining part-time in that division this year, and you're on your way to training now this evening on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, with some really big clubs in the division. If you look at the top end of the division, there's a lot of big clubs, ex-league clubs, obviously full-time clubs, hybrid clubs. So we've done really well to kind of stay in amongst them this season. You'd think that the sort of full-time clubs would kind of stretch, use their, obviously their time sort of, day in, day out, they'll get better as the season progresses. But, we've held our own, we've been naive at times in games. It's a bit of a learning, it's a tough league. Obviously the travelling, there's a lot of travelling, to add to that, and some big teams in the league. So, we're holding our own. We're still learning our way through it as well. As I said, we've been naive a few times in games where we should won and have come unstuck a few times. So, but other than that, we're really happy with how things have been going so far.
Yeah, you had a mean defence last season that played a big hand in your success. You've certainly not been leaking goals this season, but is it that finishing of chances being more clinical at this level?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look, we've lost, obviously, Chris Ray went to Southend. We sold Morgan Roberts to Swindon. They were two big players for us, two attacking players. Whether that's because of money, budgets or what, we haven't really replaced, that type of player, really. They offered us so much. So, yeah, that I'd probably say that we've struggled probably more so the top end of the pitch this season. We've got quite a few defenders. We can mix and match shape, formation, personnel defensively. But, attacking-wise, we're still very light, and we have been pretty much for the majority of the season, really. So that's something we'll look at sort of, in the coming months.
Yeah, and it is the FA Trophy, though, this weekend. And, last 16, it's quite an achievement already. You've got National League opposition coming to you. Gateshead looking over their shoulder in the relegation spots at the moment. Do you think that'll play into your hands this weekend, or is it just two sides up against each other this weekend?
I've looked at their results and I've watched them play recently. They've done really, really well. They've only lost 2 in 9 games, and both of them have been Wrexham and Notts County. So, they're on a really good run of form. I know they're still in the bottom four. They've got a big game against Oldham on Tuesday. So hopefully they'll take the foot off the pedal a little bit on Saturday and rest a few, which would be nice. But we know it's going to be a really tough game. They've been flying. We've just come off the back of a defeat and a kind of a stop-start campaign, really, the last 6 weeks. So we need to find that rhythm again. But one, the club hasn't been at this level, this stage of the competition since 1974, so it's a massive game for us, massive game for the town and the club, and one we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, and you were, of course, one of the last to reach this round after all those postponements. Does it actually help then that you're playing a National League side where there's probably more information available readily to you to do your due diligence on the side that you're about to face?
Yeah, I mean, we had a scout report earlier, and our scout, I think his words were, unfortunately, he's looked fantastic. So that doesn't sound too good to me. We know we're going to be in for a tough game. They're on a good run of form. We've had match reports on them. I've watched them myself as well, and they look a really ominous team. But we've got some good players as well. We've got a couple of players back from injury and suspension, which will really help us. We want to do, we'll have a big crowd there on Saturday. We're at home. It's a long journey for them, so hopefully we can make that count and, give them a tough game.
Yeah, and a real chance this season as well, with some of the big names already out. They've got some other National League opposition against National League opposition. So whoever goes on to win this weekend outside of the top division might then go on and do a Hornchurch that we saw in recent seasons, make Wembley and even win the trophy. So if it's your season, this is the one to get those results in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive opportunity. A lot of the big clubs are already out. It's obviously, they've got bigger concerns in terms of their league statuses or trying to progress into the Football League. So a lot of those teams are out. There's a lot of, it's obviously National League South, National League North. There's, Southern League 10 teams in as well. Bracknell, I think they're in. So we've all got fantastic chances. And as you said, if there's one year that you want to kind of be in it, it's probably this year with all the teams that have already got out. We still know it's going to be a tall order to even, get through the next round, let alone think about Wembley or anything like that. So, but we know it's a massive opportunity, and we'll do everything we can to try and win the game on Saturday.
Yeah, each game as it comes, always the obvious mantra. What about management? How's that working out for you? Because I know you coached when you were at Oxford still as a player. Then I think you were at Kiddy for a while, and at 23s there, and you were with Russell Slade at Hereford for a while. But this is your first real managerial role, isn't it? I mean, you're still young, but has it aged you?
Absolutely. I mean, I've learned a great deal when I retired from from professional football, you know, working. It was never easy. I was going from kind of job to job, under 18s, 23s, assistant manager at Hereford. Worked with John Eustace at Kidderminster Harriers. You know, these were all great experiences, but I really wanted to be a manager. And I don't think I was ever ready to be a manager. I think you kind of learnt on the job. And obviously, since my first year, I think we've progressed as a football club. Obviously, we've got promoted. We've got to the FA Cup first round for the first time in 50, 60 years. Now in the FA Trophy for the first time in 50 years as well. So, you know, it's good. Someone like Paul Holloran doing it 14 years. I don't know how he's done it. I don't know how he does it for 14 years to consistently do that. I've got two other jobs as well, kids. So it is mentally and physically draining, but, you know, I'm really still really enjoying it. There's nothing like a 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and hopefully this Saturday at 3 o'clock we can have a right go and progress to the next round.
It's interesting what you say about never being really ready for managers the job. It's a similar conversation I had with somebody else a couple of weeks back. We sort of made the reference that it's almost like being a parent. You can read as many books as you like. You can have whatever training, whatever. When you're in at the deep end, there's a few people you can call up, but it's very different, isn't it? You're in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got on your A license and those sort of courses, and you're looking at formations and tactics and all that sort of stuff, but it doesn't show you how to be a football manager, basically, does it? It doesn't, you know, the issues that come up, you know, you've got to manage upwards in terms of board members and supporters and, players, lack of form, trying to bring players in, budgets, you know, there's so much to kind of, take on, really. And I don't think you're ever really prepared for it until you're actually thrown into the hot seat. And I got the job just sort of during COVID, so it was pretty stop start, and it probably helped me in a way. It got my feet in, but it managed me to sort of plan and prepare and what I wanted to do going forward, and it really helped me, really. So I don't think you're ever ready. Well, you might be ready for it, but until you're in there doing it, you know, you don't really realise, you know, how much of I'm a part-time football manager at the moment, but it pretty much takes full, you know, most of my life up 24/7, really. But I'm really enjoying it. Obviously, this is my career path. I want to be full-time manager. This is what I want to do. You know, I love football, and hopefully I can keep progressing, doing well, and keep progressing, really.
Yeah, you're a football man, but you're also a people person, aren't you? And you've mentioned already, you know, the changing board membership, but the club's fan-owned, and it's always been leading the way with various community projects. One of those recently, I know the Spencer Clubhouse has been one of these warm places in Banbury, and have become havens for those who struggle with heating bills and somewhere to go to avoid the cold at home. Yeah. Lots of non-league clubs getting into that. I mean, how important are those sort of projects to the general well-being and positive mindset of all involved in the club for you as a manager?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, since I've been here, I think we started with 400 in the ground. Now we're getting, you know, we've got 2,500 for an FA Cup tie. We're getting regularly now over 1,000. We'll probably get, you know, 1,500 to 1,700 the weekend. So it's really brought that community feel back to the football club. You know, the clubhouse is used. I know it's probably a ground where fans and opposition players come and think, it's not the loveliest place in the world, but the clubhouse is here. It obviously functions. It's a warm space now in the week for people in the community to come. Obviously, they can't afford their heating bills or whatever at home, and they can come in a warm, friendly, free space here, and it's great. You know, the community feel in the place. That comes from obviously a fan-owned football club as well. You know, there's no sugar daddy here throwing money at it. It's volunteers. It's, you know, the ground staff. I've just pulled up to the ground now, and the ground staff are just leaving. They're all volunteers. They're retired, but they work the socks off, you know, to prepare things, not just the pitch, but in and around the ground as well. So there's a lot of volunteers who take a lot of take a lot of time out of their lives to, you know, to push and progress his football club on. And, you know, without that support, you know, we couldn't have done what we've done in the last couple of years. You know, and it's a great community feel to the football to the football club at the moment.
It's great to hear. And Banbury United is always one of those. Whenever I speak to yourself, speak to other people that are involved in the club, and or turn up at the club, it is always one of those that puts a smile on your face when you turn up, because you know it's all about the right things, And hopefully, it'll all be about the right things on Saturday. You get the result, move on in the FA Trophy, and continue your successful season. Andy Wing, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck at the weekend. And we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So let's chat FA Vars now. Well, once again, 8 ties, 16 clubs gearing up for their biggest game of the season this weekend. There is, of course, only one man to turn to in respect of all things FA Vars. So time to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. at FA Vars Fact File himself. It's Mr. Phil Linnett. Welcome back, Phil.
Yes, hi Tim. Hi, good to be back to talk to you about the FA Vars this weekend.
Yeah, FA Vars and all 8 ties, I believe, kicking off at 3 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. There's tradition and pride yeah. oozing from every one of these games.
Yeah, weather permitting. After the last round, when it took over 2 weeks to complete,
it's almost like. It's taken an age to get to this part of the competition, but it is. I remember when Dave Anderson was at this stage of the competition, this was the bit that really got him excited. And, you know, Dave Anderson can get excited about certain things, normally referees' yeah. decisions, but this really is. I mean, you can smell the turf at Wembley, can't you, if you're one of these teams?
You can. You can, yeah. The Wembley Archers envision, it's just 3 wins away to get to Wembley. And most of these clubs have won twice as many of those games yeah. already in the competition. So you'd like to think 3 more would be easy to do, but all 16 would all feel like they've got as much chance as the others to get all the way through to the final.
And we know as well from talking to you before that the Vars always has at least one new club in the final who haven't reached that stage before, but there's a chance there could be 2. I mean, I guess all eyes on Newport Pagnell Town this round.
Well, that's right, Newport Pagnell Town, they're the holders. Obviously, they won it last year, and they are the last remaining club that has actually appeared in an FA Vars final before, that in the last 16. And they have a very exciting tie, don't they? Mm. They've got Jersey Bulls coming yeah. to them. So that's probably two of the favourites out of them and Ascot United, I think I would say. You know, it should be a very tough game, exciting game. But, you know, they've come through more difficult challenges last year and made it all the way. And they won't want to relinquish their hold on the title too easily. So that should be a very interesting game indeed.
Yeah, but all of these ties are exciting. I mean, this round even, it put 16 clubs into a pot. And not one of them have ever met each other in the competition before. Nor are they going to meet each other in the league this season.
That's right, yeah. I haven't really done the in-depth research to check if that's ever happened before, apart from the first few seasons where they obviously wouldn't have met each other before. But yeah, it seemed very unusual. I think it's probably a legacy of the change in the structure of the pyramid over the recent years that's led to this situation. But it means it's exciting because all the clubs are there for, you know, some of them for the first time, many of them for the first time. Not many have even been beyond this round. So, you know, they're all... In an exciting part of the competition for them, and as I said before, they'll all fancy their chances. And every game, I think, is really difficult to call who's going to win each one.
Yeah, and 16 clubs left in, and not all of them from Step 5 either. We've got Brixham travelling to Corsham. Brixham, of course, from the South West Peninsula League at Step 6.
Yeah, that's right. Last Step 6 side standing, which is fantastic. They had a good run last year as well. Mm. So they've exceeded last year's performance, and yeah, they've already upset a few other Step 5 clubs on the way to this round, and they'll go to Corsham full of confidence. Corsham themselves have not ventured this far before in the competition, so you know they'll be hoping to continue their run, and you know history is going to be made at that game.
Yeah, but all of them. It's been a long competition already, but for I think 7 of the clubs competing this weekend, they started the competition back in the first qualifying round. So as you mentioned, they've only got 3 games to win to get to Wembley. They've already won 6.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, seven, I think it is. Six. This will be the seventh, yeah. So, yeah, six wins. I mean, in the FA Cup, that's six wins normally gets you the trophy. You don't get teams, unfortunately, going away from the qualifying rounds to the final in that competition. But it does happen in this one. So I think it's 10 wins in total to lift the trophy for potentially for one of the one of those seven who are still standing from those early rounds. Yes.
No wonder that fans talk about it for years to come. When you get to this stage in particular. I'm looking at the last round there. Penalties decided, I think, four of the ties in the last round, but there were also plenty of goals too. You mentioned Jersey Bulls maybe one of the favourites going to Newport Pagnell Town. They won 6-1. 6-0 against Romford. The Coventry Sphinx as well, they won 5-1 at Biggleswade United. But interesting, I know from your wonderful preview again, that they're not the top scorers in the competition at the moment.
The one that Ascot United are the leaders. They scored, I think, 10 in one of the early rounds in a match which enabled them to do it. But, they continue to pile on the goals throughout the competition. And, they'll be... travelling down to Bridgewater United with their scoring boots on, and it's going to be a tough game for the hosts there. Again, another exciting tie, which will be very difficult to call. But Ascot, I think they're top of the combined counties, aren't they? So going well in League Two. So they'll be feeling confident that they can potentially get a double this season.
Yeah, well, we mentioned there the long trip ahead for Jersey Bulls to get to Newport Pagnell Town. I'm not sure of their route. Do they go into Gatwick and then make their way up? I don't know. We'll have to find out. I'm sure there's plenty of fans out there that will tell us. Bury AFC making the trip to Tring Athletic. That's a bit different for the Northwest Counties weekends, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think that will be their biggest trip of the season. To get to Wembley itself, and also a big day for Tring Athletic because they do bring a lot with them when they go travelling. So it'll be a challenge for the home side to accommodate them. I'm sure they're up to it. Having been there early in the season, it is quite a little quirky ground. I think they've got a tree sticking out behind one of the goals, which makes it very difficult to walk around the ground. So that'll be something I'm sure the Bury fans aren't used to encountering. As I said, having been there, I know that they are well catered for managing the crowd coming, and it will be a fantastic day for them. They're all very excited about it.
Yeah, it's very exciting for anybody that's still involved in the competition. History to be made for the majority of these clubs as well. The 49th final, of course, the one that we're aiming for, takes place at Wembley, non-league finals day, Sunday the 21st of May. By then, all the respective seasons should be long complete as well. And of course, as you say, Ascot United, one of those at the top of their Step 5 division. Promotion may have already been secured. It could be their last opportunity to compete in the FA Vars. And I think, we say about the magic of this competition, that's another one of those quirks, just another little twist that makes this such an intriguing competition.
Well, I think that's why we've had a whole history of new clubs appearing in the actual finals, because on many occasions in the past, the finalists have done very well in their respective leagues and have progressed to Step 4 and therefore obviously take part in the FA Trophy rather than the FA Vars. And you get a whole new set of clubs coming through from Step 6 and on their way up. And each season seems to be more and more new faces at this stage of the competition. And I think it makes it a very refreshing change from other competitions where you might see the same old clubs competing at the last stages. And it's wonderful that the competition's the opportunity in the competition is spread around the country as it is.
Yeah, and as ever, I'm always looking for wordplay interactions. And there seems to be a lot of clubs beginning with A, B or C that are still left in the competition. I'm just wondering whether, we get to the next round and we've got an A, B, C as they pull out of the magic hat or the magic bag.
Well, that'll make it the easiest predictions. Review I can do in total. Easy as ABC. It's look forward to making that approach. Save me some time on having to delve through the rest of the alphabet.
Well, as ever, Phil, we look forward to reading your update as these ties are played. Hopefully, they're all played on Saturday, weather permitting, as you say. But before that, people. might want to read your full FA VARs fact file. Tell them where they can find out more about that, and also all your stuff on the FA Cup as well.
Well, yeah, I'm obviously active on Twitter, so you can get access to my stats on FA VARs fact file or at FA Cup fact file, if that's your preference. And both of those can access to my blog on WordPress / FA Cup factfile.com, where you will find the latest blog. There is the preview of the fifth round and all 16 clubs covered in that preview.
Brilliant stuff as ever, Phil Annetts. Thank you for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks so much.
So let's chat then to one of those managers involved in the FA VARs this weekend. Another great ex-pro with a great playing career spanning, I think, all four divisions in the top flight of the game, as well as 13 caps for Wales. He moved into the non-league game and into management, and he's still combining that with playing too. So let's give a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show. A welcome to the manager at Congleton Town, Mr. Richard Duffy. Welcome, Richard.
Good evening. How are we doing?
I'm good. I can hear you're on the way to training as well. FA VARs last 16, a trip to AFC Wolf Runions. You've had a bucket load of a great footballing events in your life so far, but how does this one rank amongst them?
Oh, it's right up there. Obviously, I've moved into sort of management with combining that with still playing as well. And yeah, we got to the last 32 last year, and we didn't quite turn up on the day, and we thought we could have gone quite far in the competition, and you know, we've managed to get to the last 16 this year, so we're hoping for a better show.
And you say you had a great season last season, a great season already for the club this season. You reached the FA Cup second qualifying round for the first time, I think, in something like 7 years, and held AFC Fylde 1-1 at home before defeating the replay. I see you've got a quarter-final, I think, of the Macron Cup coming up against Northwich Victoria next weekend. You're just, what, 3 wins away from Wembley? What was the aim at the start of the season?
To improve on last year. I think the club is moving in the right direction. Everything behind the scenes, from the juniors upwards, is getting better. And we just wanted to improve on where we finished last year in the league, for sure. And see where, you know, the cups are a bonus. As you say, we got to the third qualifier of the FA Cup, and really should have gone through against Fylde in the first leg, where we conceded literally the last kick of the game. So that was a body blow at the time, but it was a great run. Got the fans, you know, talking in and around the town, and our attendances have risen for it. And hopefully now with the last 16 of the VARs come. Can we manage to get through and get that buzz around them?
Yeah, and I suppose it could have been all very different as well, because at the end of last season, there was that potential threat of the club being moved from the North West Counties League into the Midland League as part of all the restructure. For those that don't know, Congleton, I guess, is what, halfway between Manchester and Stoke-on-Trent? Is that fair?
Probably so. Yeah, we were sort of put into the Midlands. The club obviously appealed it, and we managed to stay where we are. So that was good, because obviously the club has always been in this sort of region, and that would have been out of our to get players in and around that area then becomes a little bit tough. So I'm glad we managed to keep in the area, and we're up against a Midlands team on Saturday, so we'll see where we stand, how the leagues compare, for sure.
Yeah, and ironically, the FA VARs has not been a competition to trouble you in Miles this season. I think you've had 3 home ties so far, haven't you?
Yeah, two home ties. I think we come into the second round, 2 home ties, and obviously we're away on Saturday, so that will be our first away tie, but, you know, it's one of them. I think once you get to the last 16, you know, you've got to be an half-decent team to reach that stage. So whether you're home or away, it's always going to be a tough task. So, we'll prepare properly, and hopefully we come out with the right side of the result.
Yeah, and as you say, up against Midland League as a division that you could have potentially been in, but you're in the Northwest County still, and the league's well represented still in this competition. West Didsbury and Chorlton making a similar trip south down to Coventry Sphinx, and I say Bury AFC, or I think you're facing the league on Tuesday, have that long trip to Tring Athletic. Is there any sort of like level of league camaraderie when you get to at these sort of stages in the national competitions?
Oh, I think you want to be well represented for sure, and you know, can all teams win and get through to the quarterfinals, then you know you've got a chance of a team hopefully reaching the final then from our league. So our league's a really tough league this year, which it always is, always competitive. I'm not surprised that there's more teams left in the competition stuff.
Yeah, and you've already mentioned there, you know, the club's bigger than the actual first team. I know that the supporters coaches are sold out for Saturday's game, but the club's got a booming youth set up, the vets, ladies, everything like that. I seem to recall I think around COVID time, there was a merger of a number of local youth teams that sort of put them all under one banner, which helped bring the club together. As a first team manager and first team player as well, how far do you get it actively involved with all those other levels of the club?
Yeah, I think as obviously management, then you try and dip in to see what's going on. And, you know, as you say, there's a lot of merging going on, and the amount of teams we've got is fantastic to represent the town, you know. So, as I said at the beginning, the club's moving in the right direction. It's you know, the chairman, Chris Rowley, Ken, secretary, obviously chairman, Charles, they're all doing a fantastic job behind the scenes. And, you know, we're trying to do our job, and, you know, we'll end up where we are. But, you know, everything's plowing in the right direction to move the club forward.
And, you know, you had a great career as a player higher up, and then you've taken that natural progression drifting down. Were you always going to be a manager?
I don't know, to be honest. It was always something that interested me as I was getting older in my career.
As you were getting old, you're not old yet.
37 now, I think, 38 in the summer. So, I would call myself old as a footballer for sure. You look at football now, it's getting younger and younger. I mean, you don't, there's not many of my age playing league football anymore. The clubs are going for younger players, younger managers even as well, if you notice that. And that's the way football's going. So, obviously, I dropped down to a level where, you know, it wasn't quite right for me to carry on at league football, and took the step into non-league and then into sort of player management as well, which I'm really enjoying.
A player manager that's scoring some goals as well this season.
Yeah, somehow, yeah. I've probably got more already this season than I have in my career. So somehow that's happened. But, you know, we work on set pieces quite a lot, and the boys will tell you, they have a laugh at me. But, you know, if you look at the amount we've scored from set pieces, then, you know, they come in handy at times when the game's, you know, there's not much in the game, and that's what can separate teams. So, you know, we've picked up quite a few points from set pieces, and, you know, we do work on them quite a bit.
Yeah, and I've already mentioned your playing career. I couldn't let you go without talking about Notts County. I think over 100 appearances at Notts. Are they one of the results you still look out for every week?
Yeah, I look out for all my old clubs. Obviously, Notts County, then Port Vale before that, Exeter before that. Obviously, started at Swansea. So, all the teams that I play for, I always look out for. And, you know, obviously, Notts County are having a fantastic season. They are top of the conference at the minute. With Wrexham, you know, on their tails, closing in on them. So that's going to be and even Chesterfield, I think, are not quite out of it. So that's going to be a great run in there with them three. Three big teams for that division. And it's just sad that only one can go up, and obviously one through the playoffs. So, and once you're in the playoffs, then, you know, it becomes, you know, it's not a cert that just because you're top of the playoffs that, you know, you're going to go through. So that's going to be a great run in there. And obviously Port Vale, an old club of mine, got promotion last year and having a great season again. You know, started really well, tapered off results just after Christmas. But, you know, a team that's got promoted, you know, I'm sure they would have accepted where they are this season for sure.
It sounds like Richard Duffy, the magic genie, just been let out of the lamp. You seem to have all the luck, and hopefully taking that into the Saturday's game as well. As management, this is your first sort of a test there, and you've played at high level. Would you, you know, hopefully you can take Congleton Town up through the levels. But have you got aspirations to continue a long management career as well?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm just really enjoying my time here. It's a great learning process for me, how football works behind the scenes. You know, it's as a player, players will tell you now, they turn up, they train, they go home, they turn up, they play, and they go home. As a manager, this, you know, it's pretty sad. You go home thinking of them, and you wake up thinking of them. So how are you going to prepare the team Saturday? What's your team talk going to be before the game? You know, have you got to speak to any players in particular? It's, even though it's a part-time job, it's a full-time thinking job for sure, because sadly enough, they're always on your bloody mind. Yeah.
And I guess that helps when things are going well, and they are going well for you at the moment, and hopefully they'll continue as well, including Saturday. Richard Duffy, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. Cheers.
So time once again to head on over to the Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Show. It is the editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bagpot. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Well, yeah, I'm obviously in fairy tale land. You know, the fact that I've stood and watched my team in sub-zero conditions this week to win a game. You question your sanity and your love for the non-league game, and then once you get back inside, you realise that, yeah, it's good to be back watching football after all these postponements that we've had.
Yeah, I was similar. I went out to... I know Wrexham had a big game on Tuesday night, but I went to see Wroxham at Bury Town in the East Mid North. Welcome to Wroxham, but at Bury. And yeah, it was very cold. I was pleased I had my hand warmers that I'd left in the car. But yes, very cold and 0-0 draw, you know, one. Why we love it, why we love non-league, what's better than a 0-0 draw on a cold Tuesday night in February?
No, interesting. I saw some news that the Carabao Cup coming up in a couple of weekends' time. We've got Newcastle, Man United, and it's going to be the first cup final for however many years, 35, 36 years or something like that, that fans will be allowed to stand. There'll be a fan standing area. And one thing I did notice, with it being very cold, not many people sit in the stand. They do tend to be a lot more wandering around or standing behind the goal or just trying to keep warm. So, you know, maybe non-league is where you need to watch your football when it's cold.
It's all about keeping the feet. Once the feet have gone, once they've turned the cold, that's it. It's game over. And mine went on Tuesday, and that was probably because I was sat down. I just had to, you know, take a load off sometimes and sat there and, yeah, I enjoyed the game. I mean, I was sort of kind of... Carlos Edwards still playing for Bury Town. He started, played the whole game, 44 years old. You're sort of thinking, you know, that is... Well, how much he loves playing, and it's just sort of great to see, really, something, you know, to be, you know, when he could be wrapped up watching a game somewhere, no doubt. He was out there, short sleeves, and in midfield getting stuck in, and it wasn't a classic. It wasn't a game that would sort of make the end of season DVD if they still exist. But yeah, I think we just all enjoyed being out there in the very fresh air.
Yeah, in the very fresh air indeed. You mentioned Wrexham as well. Yeah, they could have been at home watching Wrexham bowing out of the FA Cup. But I haven't had a chance to watch it. But by all accounts, another humdinger and an on-the-field display that all can be proud of. But at the end of non-league in the FA Cup this year, I did see Paul Mullin's penalty. And, you know, credit to the man that sewed up the net. Because it certainly powered that one home. But, yeah, a good display from non-league again in the FA Cup this season, and one that we can all be proud of.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, which obviously everyone knows the sort of the backstory that's going on there and you know, all the attention that's kind of brought the non-league game. And I've sort of managed to get back in the car after on Tuesday and listen to the last little bit where it was 1-1, and heard those late goals go in. And we took Chris Dunleavy from our Football League paper. We sorted out a loan deal for him on Tuesday night, and he went along to the game. And talking to him earlier, and he's saying how, you know, sort of, well, Wrexham equipped themselves, and sort of, you know, the atmosphere, because the, you know, 4,500 Wrexham fans behind the goal. I think obviously Paul Mullen, I think he had a slight strain in the game and they took him off and Chris was got saying that was kind of, you could kind of see how sort of a lot of their impetus kind of went out of them a little bit after that because of how important he is to them as a team. Obviously, they're definitely a safety first approach there because of their ultimate goal that is to try and get promoted into the Football League and obviously in this gripping title race that they're going to need all their players to be as fit as possible all the way through it. But it was a great run. They definitely haven't been boring in the across the two games against Sheffield United and obviously another day that go a different way as a second penalty and the keeper makes a good save for Sheffield United. And you know, you wonder, it's obviously the sliding doors moments of football and kind of what we've all seen. You think about Harry Kane back in the World Cup and he takes us. I'm not never a fan of, I've got nothing to back this up, just not a fan of players taking penalty and second one off they scored on for some reason. It just seems to add an extra kind of stress. They've obviously, you know they're sort of their ultimate goal is promotion, which they get back to trying to work towards this weekend.
Mm, yeah, well,
a huge weekend in the National League as well.
Yeah, the National League. There's only, I think, what have we got? Four games in the top division this weekend because of FA Trophy action and that rounds off with the evening BT Sport match as well, which is one of those that everybody will be looking forward to. It's Chesterfield, Notts County, the 5:20 p.m. kickoff. But before that, we've got Dagenham and Redbridge against Solihull Moors, Woking against Boreham Wood, Wrexham against Wealdstone. So, Notts County, they're clear by 3 points. Wrexham, two games in hand. They could have overtaken Notts County if they win against Wealdstone earlier on in the day before that big game at Chesterfield in the evening. Every week, the National League is probably more exciting than the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating run-in. We spoke about a few weeks ago, didn't we? They could both feasibly get over 100 points, and only one would definitely go up, which is kind of crazy. That sort of shows the, you know, how good the sides are, and Chesterfield were kind of in that conversation as well. I mean, took a big hit in the week from Woking, who are absolutely flying on the Darren Sile and kind of almost going a little bit unmentioned. I mean, what season they're having down there. And, you know, that win, go up to Chesterfield and be 3-0 up and win 3-1. And, you know, that's kind of a real marker kind of game to kind of remember that they're in this conversation. And, you know, they'll now be thinking top three for, you know, trying to get that bye. If they, you know, so I know they'll want to try and win the league, but you think now it is Wrexham and Notts County. It's hard to say. There's obviously a lot of games to go, but, you know, Woking are really put themselves in a really strong position. That shows, that win on Tuesday night to go up there to Chesterfield and perform like that. And Chesterfield will be looking to bounce back against Notts on Saturday. And it's going to be a huge game. There'll be a huge crowd there, and as you say, we'll see what happens in the earlier in the day. I mean, Wrexham, so far, once they've come out of these big FA Cup games, they've always performed well and managed to find a way to get wins and grind out results. And that kind of says what we need to know about them. But we also have having a decent season themselves. They went to Chesterfield early in the season and won as well. So it's nothing's firm. Guaranteed, and as we say, Woking playing against Boreham Wood, you know, they've got their own playoff hopes as well. So there's just so much on all these games at the moment. It's just going to be fascinating. There's just so many different things happening across the division. You know, whether it's be playoffs, the title race, what's happening down at the bottom. Teams that are put on little runs down at the move were sort of struggling a few weeks ago. Now suddenly thinking, can we sneak in those playoffs? So there's just so much to play for, and it's going to be a fascinating last couple of months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying that we mentioned, you know, some of those midweek results. One of those was Oldham's 4-2 win over Dagenham and Redbridge. That lifts them clear of the relegation zone. And as you say, there were, 31 points in 19th position? Boreham Wood's 7th on 42 points? It's not unrealistic that you go on a run and you're suddenly on the coattails of those playoffs.
Yeah, that's what the league sort of kind of come, you know, it is. Been really, really tight And that's what, as you say, about more exciting than the Premier League, I think it definitely is. I think it's one of the most exciting leagues in the country. The Premier League's kind of, you know, only a little bit interesting at the moment because, you know, Man City have lost a few games, Liverpool aren't doing very well, and it's kind of, you know, there's that to talk about. Whereas normally it's kind of, you know, we know one of four teams, maybe three teams who's going to win it. Or, you know, I mean, people didn't pick Arsenal this year, but, I mean, the National League is just, you know, throughout non-league, there's just so many, you know, there's just so many storylines and things that can, you know, results that swing each week and things you think are sort of nailed on to happen and then teams drop points. And it's just, it's going to be fascinating. Not one to take your eyes off.
No, definitely not. That victory for Oldham, it does put them 1 point and just one place below York City. But they also have two games in hand over York City. And York themselves lost, 3-2 at home to Solihull Moors. And looking at that on paper, you know, not seemingly a disastrous result, but it was for David Webb, who's been sacked after just 2 months in the job there as the boss at York City.
Yeah, I mean, looking for the third manager of the season, it's just been a bit of a disaster for the club, isn't it, since John Askey left. You know, obviously there's lots of fan unrest, not happy with the since the takeover's happened and Glenn Henderson coming in, and there's been sort of all sorts of issues there, and you know, I kind of feel for Dave Webb really. I don't really think it's much of a chance sort of coming in, you know, facing Askey. You know, obviously the fans weren't happy about it in the first place and what Askey had done down there, and there's a real clamour for him to kind of go back now as well. And all that kind of hard work that went into that National League North, getting out of that and how tough that is. And now they're sort of staring down a barrel. And as you say, teams like Oldham winning below them. We're seeing how Scunthorpe have strengthened since Jimmy Dean's gone in there last week. Mm. Gates, I think, picked up some results. And you know, Dorking have got that kind of, you know, seen lots of goals. They've got that firepower on a bit of a bad run, but, you know, you can see them winning games as well. Torquay and Gary Johnson. It's kind of, it is all very tight down there as well. And they're kind of slipping at the moment, York, and whoever, you know, comes in, is that's going to be the first port of call, is to try and to get that. And maybe, you know, the fact they've got a trophy game this weekend can kind of give them all a little bit pause for breath, and they can sort of have a little distraction and then kind of get back to the league after that.
Yeah, York City, of course, a tough old trip over to Southend United in the FA Trophy for fifth round proper this weekend. A tough game in any event. And another one of those where the National League will lose another member of another one where the National League will lose another of its number, giving, you know, those clubs from lower down another opportunity. But those York City players, their confidence is not going to be high, and it's going to be a difficult game to go into. But there is, I guess, you get through that game, there's a big carrot at the end of it.
Trying to get into that last eight now, aren't they? So it's kind of all to play for. It'd be fascinating. There's sort of a real mix of teams in there, and kind of it feels a really open competition at the moment.
Obviously we've got the FA Trophy fifth round as well as the FA Vars fifth round. The two are aligning now, and for these clubs, I really can smell the Wembley turf for these sort of games. But it is that balance of your league form. Obviously in the Vars, you tend to have clubs that are looking for that push to get up into that next level of the pyramid. FA Trophy a bit wider this year, with a number of the National League clubs already out, giving an opportunity for maybe someone to follow in the footsteps of Hornchurch in recent years.
Yeah, I think as we've seen, Hornchurch should be for that year, so it was a step two team. We've seen in recent years, obviously North Ferriby getting to the final, and a thriller of Wrexham, and Bratney won it a few years ago when they beat Bromley. And it's kind of does feel like a very open competition, and it makes for great games. You know, I know, you know, hunger first spoke to manager Danny Robinson the other week, and they've had sort of some tricky kind of banana skin type ties, and you know, had a good run, and then you look at Bracknell and obviously had a great cut run and beating step two sides in that, and the great trophy run and beat Bath in the last round to get, and they've got Altrincham at home, and you know, a different test, a new test for them, a full-time team coming down, and Alti will be be very on their guard for what awaits them at Bracknell. But I spoke to George Knight last week, one of the midfielders, and you just see how excited they all are and how much they relish these sort of occasions. Obviously, they've got two managers, and James Byrne and Carl Withers, who've done it in the Vars and sort of know what these runs are like when they got there with Binfield a few years ago. So it's just definitely an open competition, exciting. And you think some of those National League teams should be really thinking, we've got a really good chance of having a big day out at Wembley if we can navigate through this round.
Indeed. You mentioned that Hereford there and their previous defeat in the FA Trophy final. One of the other managers losing his job this week was Hereford boss Josh Gowling. I think three successive league defeats meaning a change needed at that club as well.
Yeah, I think we spoke a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Josh did a column for the paper and talked about sort of the what it's like losing games of football as a manager and how much that sort of impacts you, and kind of open up on that sort of human side of it. And I think, you know, when you see a manager lose a job, that kind of hits home. I think from his point of view, he walks away quite proud of what he achieved there and what they did. And, you know, there's sort of their FA Cup run this year, they played Portsmouth and live TV, and obviously got to Wembley again a few years ago in the trophy. And, you know, I know he's done a lot kind of around the club and sort of away from the pitch and the community stuff, and sort of quite a forward thinking young manager. So, you know, I think you'll have to have, everyone has setbacks, and it's about how you come back from that. And I'm sure Josh will be determined to get back in there somewhere, you know, as quickly as possible. And obviously for Hereford, the search goes on for who they're going to kind of bring in, and you know, a club like that, there's going to be lots of people interested in it, because everyone knows, you know, the name and the size of the crowds they get, and it'll be a, you know, really appealing one for a lot of managers out there, I'm sure.
Joining the managerial ranks this week, we also have Luke Steele, who's become the joint manager at Peterborough Sports with newly appointed Michael Gash. And everybody knows particularly Gash's achievements at non-league level, but an interesting one that he's immediately realised that he needs someone alongside him, again with pro and semi pro experience, just to take the weight of all the pressure and the admin and just the sheer hours that a part-time manager has to do in a division like National North.
Yeah, I spoke to Gashi last week, and he still says he feels like he's got plenty to offer on the playing side as well. So he wants that, but I know Luke is their best mates, basically. And that he's sort of been helping him out a little bit in the sort of first week and a bit now. We've gone up to 2 weeks. He's been in charge, and he was kind of sort of saying he's hoping to sort of kind of convince him to come in. I think Luke has still been playing. So he used to be a goalkeeper, but yeah, he's also been playing up front in recent years. So I think he was still sort of enjoying that. So I think they had to sort of get him around the table and kind of you say, come on, can't let you mate down. So he's got him in, and that's important for him. You know, it's interesting speaking to Michael Gash. You know, he's done so much in his playing career and lots of clubs and achievements, and you know, he sort of battled so hard to get into the Football League, and eventually sort of did that with Barnet, and the injuries that he's come back from, and you know, still going now, and sort of enjoying it. You know, you can see how much he sort of, you know, how much non-league's meant to him. And he kind of said he always sort of felt like he'd going into management. He sort of assumed maybe like a step five club where he'd kind of get in there and learn his learn the trade a little bit. But he's saying, what an opportunity for me. You know, he's interim until the end of the season. He's saying, you know, what an opportunity for me to try and to sort of show, you know, what I'm about, and kind of, he said to the players, just give me the same that you gave Jimmy Dean. Nothing changes. And they got a great result last week against Brackley. Obviously, Brett Lynn, I don't think they'd lost since Roger Johnson had gone in there as manager. You know, great result at home, 2-0 result against Bratley, and I guess that sort of, you know, he'll be getting that managerial bug as well now, and sort of the, he's sort of joking about how his, you know, his phone had battery when I was speaking to him because of all the things he suddenly have to deal with. And as you say there, you need someone alongside you to take a bit of that weight off.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he will take, well, both of them, as you say, that, you know, that they both love playing, but then, you know, as everybody always says, all those great managers always say, that he's the next best thing from playing. So I'm sure they'll take to it very well and very quickly as well, as you've already said with that result. Two more unsightly pieces of news maybe this week affecting non-league. We saw David Goodwillie arrive unannounced, scored a hat-trick for Radcliffe against Belper Town, and then released with a club saying that they'd made a significant misstep in their due diligence in signing him. Goodwillie, for those unaware, was a player that previously lost his civil law case in Scotland in respect of a rape allegation, although it was never convicted of any criminal charges in relation to the same. But clearly, a decision made in relation to, yeah, they were a strong community club, Radcliffe, and obviously, I would imagine, some pressure from sponsors. Just another one of those maybe difficult decisions that clubs have to make. He scored a hat trick, but, you know, it. What's the wider? What's the best, better thing? The wider thing for the non-league club to progress going forward, and they decided that it is without this new striker.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe something that should have been thought about before as well. You know, saw the reaction when he signed. I think it was at Raith Rovers. It was early this season or last season, and you know, should it be a difficult decision? I don't know. It's sort of just, you know, maybe they didn't expect that reaction, but obviously they didn't announce it, as you say. So, you know, we all seen teams of, you know, have made those sort of quick announcements for games, quick picture, and got to put it out. And, you know, he just puts his name appear on the team sheet, and you say he's gone on to score a hat trick. And just, yeah, a bit of a mess, really, to be honest. You know, yeah, sort of their statement, you know, it comes across as very genuine, and they, you know, I think they've made a mistake, and they probably realise they've got to rebuild some things, you know, trust with some of their fan base and the community a little bit. But yeah, just a pretty difficult situation, and one sort of football needs to have as a wider kind of thing as well. You know, what kind of happens in these situations? Are you allowed to register players?
I can see it from different points of view that it can be a difficult thing. There's, you know, certainly plenty of people playing in non-league where they're playing in non-league because of issues that they've had off the field, maybe. And people aren't always aware of other things that have gone on in their lives, but they're able to get on with it. Whereas in this one, as you say, it was a very high-profile situation, and, you know, that due diligence, you know, somebody should be aware as soon as that person hits the team sheet that there might be potential repercussions. It's just, you know, non-league is maybe the first place that people are going to look to maybe resurrect their career if they've dropped out of the pro game. But the problem is that non-league doesn't necessarily have the same resources or the same time to do the due diligence you would probably get a pro club. I remember from last week talking to Jimmy Dean, where previously at Peterborough Sports, he's been, you know, doing all the scouting himself. He gets to that opportunity up at Scunthorpe, and he's got a whole team of scouts that are coming to him with information. It's different, isn't it? The further you go down the pyramid, it probably, the decision rests on one person, and he's probably got 5,001 things to do on the same day as well as their own job. So, yeah, I can see it from both positions, but it's a
slightly different case as well, isn't it? That's the thing. It's not like you say, it's a civil, it's a civil court ruling. Yeah. So, you know, it's not as, I know for some it isn't very straightforward and some like, but you know, there is that sort of, it's slightly different from some things, but it's still, you know, very, yeah, not great. But I guess, you know, they've acted, haven't they? So they've listened to what people have said, and
They have acted, and it, you know, will be one of those, you know, hopefully it is one of those, you know, stories that will be, you know, tomorrow's fish and chip wrapping. The other big news of the week, I guess, was the fallout in the Southwestern restructure. The Southwest Peninsula League officials effectively pulling out of negotiations with the Western League amidst allegations of unfair conditions in relation to the supposed merger of the league. All rather unsightly, and I'm not entirely sure where it actually leaves the proposed restructure at that end of the country, because it did seem like the FA had sort of left it to the leagues to organise themselves, and it looks like the organising has finished.
Yeah, I'm sure it's one of those. These things never quite straightforward, are they? You know, when it comes down to, they call it politics in football. We've seen that over the years. Always remember to speak to the late Alan Zerbe, and he was just, years afterward, kind of always bring up about the restructure where the Isthmian League kind of went from feeding into the National League to into Step Two. And, you know, these people put in hundreds and hundreds of unpaid hours, and, you know, even if they are getting throughout the league, if they're getting some sort of reimbursement for some of the hours that they're sort of putting in, you know, it's going well and above beyond that, and it's because they care, and there's real passion for this level of game. That's why you're doing that. That's why you're in this, you know, in the roles they are. And I'm sure it will get ironed out in some form, and they will work out, because at the end of the day, there's an acceptance from everybody that it needs to happen again. That was something the FA, they listened to kind of what the clubs and leagues were saying, and they went along with this, getting this extra division in, and somehow I'm sure it'll all get worked out.
I'm sure as well, you know, if it really, really got to the stage, there'll be some sort of legal wranglings or something. It would, as you say, there will be a solution there. Having spoken to somebody the other day who's now a lawyer, who's an expert in divorce proceedings involving dogs, and they specialise in dogs. So maybe if there's any lawyers out there listening, there's a potential specialism for disputes between leagues at the non-league level to put them through some arbitration. As you say, these people that are there are there for the right reasons, and most of them have been there for years as well. So they, it's not as if they've just sort of come into it, and, you know, like maybe sometimes you see a chairman come in and sort of trying to wrangle a club away from the fans. These are people that have been involved with their leagues, and there's obviously lots of passion there. But hopefully that will get sorted out, and we will see that restructure. In a similar sort of part of the country, one other slice of news I did spot, and something we've followed throughout the years on the show, the redevelopment of Bath City's Twerton Park. Their previous planning application, I think, was to make a community hub, and had big changes to the local Twerton community around there. They were rejected by the council, though, a while back now. It looks like there's a new attempt that will include a 3G pitch to help in the process of getting planning application through, but also for the future of the club. A good example, talking to lots of clubs at the moment, where the number of postponements and the sheer number of games that clubs need to get on, especially as they're expanding their youth, their women's and their parability offerings, 3G just becoming more and more enticing for a club.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot of that stuff through the week, and kind of you know, how people sort of don't always realise and remember when they sort of go up and watch the first team on a Saturday, you know, you're just watching kind of a squad of 15, 20 players of the men's first team. But there's always these, you know, this web that goes so, you know, so much deeper, in, you know, into the community and through all the age groups at so many clubs, and in the women's and girls football, and obviously, you know, clubs, teams have got walking football and disability sections and all these different things, and you know, kind of it's better than ever for everybody to be kind of getting engaged with their local club. But as you say, the facilities need to be right for people, and they need to be so where people can turn up, and also facilities that can kind of cope with the demand. So that's obviously where clubs are coming from. We've seen sort of the success that many have had, and you know, obviously Bath are trying to, you know, such a big city, you know, think how much they can kind of do there, and that's obviously where they're coming from. I think it's obviously that bit of scepticism from the fans, and about how, you know, the council don't seem to kind of back them, and they didn't back them last time. I think I know how sort of disappointed they were by that. So it's hopefully they can sort of move forward with it and kind of get the right result and start doing as much as they can.
Yeah, I look forward to sort of finding out more about that project. Also, look forward to finding out more about this weekend's paper. Anything in particular we can expect to read about in the paper this weekend? Vars Trophy, National League?
Yeah, all of the above. Big weekend in the Vars and the Trophy. It's not a big focus, obviously. Big Notts Chesterfield Notts game as we've spoken about, and then kind of covering off lots of other bits that are going on. Chris Dunleavy from Football League Paper was at Bramall Lane on Tuesday night, so we've got his take on proceedings there, and the slight storm in a teacup afterwards of Sheffield United striker Billy Sharp sort of taking a few shots at Wrexham about how they sort of approached the game, which were interesting, certainly sort of spiced the evening up a bit as well. So lots going on there. We've got a piece of Kevin Phillips, obviously South Shields going
very well.
Great guns at the top of the National Northern Premier League Prem Division, trying to get into the National League North. I think we all know the story of a couple of years ago when they were so close when COVID shut the season down, and lots of things have happened since then. And Kevin Phillips took over last year and lost in the playoffs, but they're well placed at the moment, so kind of got him looking back over the first year or so of his job. So we see keeping up with all the action as we get into this exciting part of the season with sort of incredibly couple of months, just under 3 months left now with all this action to unfold.
Yeah, it is getting very, very, very exciting. As always, every Sunday morning always is to pick up a copy of the non-league paper. Matt Bacot, thanks as ever for all your help. Speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim. See you soon.
And that then is it for this week. Thank you as ever to my guests. Thank you to everybody for listening too. And remember, you can of course follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you, and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA